Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're joined by now, joined right now by the radio voice of the New York Mets, who has to watch this team 90 plus more times the rest of the way.
I feel for Howie.
The great Howie Rose. Howie,
boy,
how's Atlanta?
I got to say this, Howie, and I love you. You're the best, man. I love you. You know I do. At least I can, like, shut the television off. You know what I mean? Like, you got to, like 90 more games of this. I mean, I feel for you. I really do.
You know, look, I'm not going to paint a Pollyanna picture for you, but you know what? When the game starts and I'm sitting there broadcasting a big league baseball game, it's still great. So
no,
we've got
I understand.
That, and then we work our way up.
I get it.
Are we going to look back at that Friday at 6:10 when we awkwardly had to start a game in the bottom of the ninth inning with Todd Frazier up, and I think he got ahead of the count 3-0, and I got excited thinking, ah, here we go. Carlos Martinez is going to blow it. Are we going to look back at that one-day, two-loss disaster as the 2019 season?
Well, maybe, and I think some of it will be further defined during this road trip, right? I mean, it's just one tough 11-game trip. And there's no easy pickings when they get home either. So right up until the All-Star break, we'll have a pretty good idea of where this team's going. And if last night is any indication, I think we know the answer already.
Well, I'll tell you, Howie, last night to me was you saw the difference between a real championship contender and what the Mets are. Because the Braves played a professional baseball. I mean, forget everything else. Just the defensive aspect of this game last night. The Braves turning double plays, Freddie Freeman scooping balls ridiculously at first base, and the Mets, you know, McNeil's falling on his face in left field. You got Lonzo not making a double play ball, picking up a double play ball. Ramos can't catch a ball on a pitch. I mean, it makes you delirious.
Yeah, there are a lot of things last night that stood out. I think the athleticism of the Braves, their ability to make plays when the Mets didn't, the fact that they not only grind at bats, there's not an easy touch in that lineup going 1-8 before you get to the pitcher. Defensively, they're so solid. And, you know, look at the struggles of Ahmed Rosario and look at a play Dansby Swanson made last night. Now, Rosario gets such late breaks, whether to his left or his right.
Right.
You don't need the metrics to tell you what the eye test does, and that is that he has been a poor defender at shortstop. And the Mets are aware of that, obviously. Gary DeSarcina spent a lot of time working on certain techniques with him that to this point have not, you know, borne fruit. And then you look at Dansby Swanson, who's in an overshift, and he's the shortstop. He's to the right at second base, and he goes across the bag behind it to the left and makes a great play to throw out. I think it was Conforto. Michael Conforto gets down the line pretty well.
Yep.
And to see, you know, to see that athleticism and that range and to make that kind of a play, that is a stark difference right there between the Braves and a Mets team that, never mind, has made more errors than any team in the National League. But, you know, those balls Rosario didn't get to last night, they're not errors. They're just plays that weren't made that a good team has to make.
Absolutely. Like the double play in the first inning with Pete Alonso.
And this too, Howie, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but even Lagares is not the same guy defensively he used to be in center field, even him.
Not consistently, and I think the biggest difference I've noticed with Lagares, and this really didn't come into play at all last night, but he can still go get it, and, you know, he'll still thrill you sometimes by being able to get a fly ball that most other center fielders could, but his arm's not what it was, or at least he hasn't shown that it is right now. You remember how teams would be foolish to run on Lagares a couple of years ago? That's not the case anymore.
No.
Why? I don't know. I know he's had a couple injuries over the years that were arm or thumb or hand related, but defensively right now, this team's got issues.
Yeah, and Zach Wheeler was so dominant in the second half of last year, and as he was doing it, I remained skeptical till the very end, and I started to buy in. What do you make of what we've seen from Zach Wheeler? This is a contract year for him, so he's losing a lot of money, I think, with the way he's pitched. But the big difference between Zach Wheeler first half this year, who's got an ERA near 5, and the guy who for the second half of last year was one of the most dominant pitchers in the National League.
I wish I had an answer for that. That's maybe the most head-scratching question among all the Mets pitchers, because almost every game that Wheeler starts, there are spurts. At Yankee Stadium last week, it was the first couple of innings when he mowed him down six straight, and then the third inning is when it all, you know, came apart. Last night, first batter takes him deep, settles in a little bit after that. But there have been some strange spurts in games where Wheeler looks pretty well like he did last year and then falls apart. And I don't know what the answer to that is, quite frankly. Everybody's got problems with a home run ball. You know, Zach Wheeler's numbers are up. Ball is ridiculous this year. We've talked about that ad infinitum to the point where it's ad nauseum, really. And if MLB thinks they're fooling anybody, they're not, because I think too much of anything ceases to become a good thing, even if it might seem that it's good at face value at the beginning. And I think this plethora of home runs has gotten silly, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, that's a whole other issue. It transcends Zach Wheeler, the Mets pitching staff, or any other particular pitching staff. It's just the way the game is now. But I don't understand Wheeler's inconsistencies. That's something I'm not schooled as a broadcaster rather than a pitching coach to really have a good feel for. But, I mean, you guys see the same thing I do. Two, three innings at a time, he looks great. Then there's the bad inning. And it's not that he doesn't manage the inning, per se. It's not like he lets an error or a bad call mess him up. It's just that all of a sudden he's not what he was the last three innings, and I don't get it.
What do you do with him? I mean, he's a free agent at the end of the year. Do you trade him no matter what before the deadline? How do you handle it with
him? Well, I'm going to cross sports here for a moment. I think the prototype for the absolute worst decision that a team's management can make was 1 year ago with John Tavares of the Islanders. They had to trade him. Now, we don't need to revisit the whole thing. I'm just making the point that they had an asset that they knew had a chance to walk and get nothing for. And despite the fact that he said what he said about wanting to stay, and you know, never mind, we don't need to revisit all that. The fact is they made a bad move, the Islanders did, because ultimately they let him walk. In my opinion, if this trend continues, and we're still, what, 5.5, 6 weeks out from the trade deadline, but, you know, you don't want to get into 2004 again when the Mets were about eight games out of a postseason spot and they convinced themselves that, you know what, maybe Chris Benson will be the difference.
Oh, God.
The Kazmir trade. You know, you don't want to get into that. Zach Wheeler's an asset. Zach Wheeler has value. Exactly what the value is in his walk here at the deadline, I don't know. But if, in fact, it looks like the Mets are going to have a lot of trouble getting into even the wild card race. And I think they have to trade Zach, if that's the case, as you get towards the trade deadline. You can't let him walk. I mean, obviously the qualifying offer and draft pick compensation is always an issue. And I think even that's changing over the next year or two. But you just can't let him walk for nothing if they're in a similar situation 6 weeks from now is where they are today.
Talking to the great Howie Rose, the Mets game two of their road trip in Atlanta tonight. Maybe they'll get rained out so they can't lose tonight. We'll see. But anyway.
Don't do that, because then you stick me here for two games.
I'm sorry,
tomorrow.
Howie. You're right. I'm
Take
sorry.
Take your medicine one at a time.
Yeah, all right. You're right about that. We don't need two losses in the same day. You know what I mean? That's right.
I'm just saying we don't need double headers.
How about this, too, Howie? This is. I said this to Evan. This is so Met-like. Go back to the game, the disaster with Diaz and the rain and the Cardinals on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
If the Mets are lobbying, like Alonso and these guys, they're lobbying. Please don't put the top on the field. Let's play the ninth inning. If they just they would have won the game. How? They would have won.
Well, maybe they would have. Who knows? They would have won. That's not the issue. You know what the bigger issue is? And you guys can do something about it, at least in terms of whether it's Joe Torre, you know, Rob Manfred's not going to talk about it, but if he wants to, that'd be great. But some really high-ranking and well-spoken official at Major League Baseball, and Joe Torre would be the ideal guy to have on for this, needs to explain, and I'm not just ripping them blindly about this because they deserve the right to explain what their mandate has become. But it's evident around baseball, and we saw it again last night. We had a 15-minute, what I call, indecision break.
Right, everybody was trying to figure out what to
do with the top, which was pathetically half opened and unfurled on the outfield grass. And you got the head of the ground screw and four umpires scratching their heads over what to do. But the reality of it is, and we hear this in every city that we go to, but again, it'd be great if you guys could investigate this in kind of a long-form format. MLB is behind all of these ridiculous, interminable delays, like we saw last night in Washington. And there are the Phillies and the Nationals who are going to play multiple times beyond last night, and they made fans sit through a three-hour delay.
Yeah. Wow, that's unbelievable.
The game. Okay.
Right.
Now, I understand the business aspect of it. I'm not blind. I'm not ignorant. I'm not naive. But, you get to a point where if you claim that you're trying to serve the best interests of your fans, then explain how making them wait 3 hours to start a game that ultimately they never did when they had plenty of opportunities to replay it later on, or so many of the other things that have gone on based on either indecision about when to cover the field or not, or start games or not, or call games or not. Every city we go, look, it's not the home team, it's MLB.
Right.
The umpires say that.
Yeah.
It's not really us. They're leaning on us. Well, fine. If they're the decision makers, if it's MLB and not the people on the field, then somebody from MLB really needs to explain it and answer the questions presented politely and as objectively as you can to get their side of it, because right now it makes no sense and serves no one.
Yeah. And
you're right.
It hurts the fans. We've seen it.
Sure.
You gave a great example last night of the Nationals game. We were talking earlier about Jeff McNeil, who continues to hit. Didn't have a great night last night, but continues to hit. Should they give him one position and say that's it? Or are you comfortable with the fact that sometimes it's third base, sometimes it's left field, sometimes it's second base?
I think the guy I have to ask that question to is Jeff McNeil, and he'd probably say I'm comfortable any place, because he's just the baseball equivalent of a gym rat, He'll play anywhere and, generally play it fairly well from a defensive standpoint. We know he hits. We know he's a piece here that's part of what the future is going to be, I would hope. Whatever they do, whatever the plan is, if they do seem to be falling out of contention around the deadline, you've got kids who, in my opinion, need to be a part of it. McNeil is one of them.
No question.
Alonzo is one of them. And Dom Smith.
No question.
With the progress he's made this year. Don't tell me about trading Dom Smith for a reliever.
No.
At this point is ridiculous. Don't let Dom blossom somewhere else, okay? Let Dom Smith blossom here. Find the space for him. Find the room for him. Other teams adjust when it comes to defense. Look what the Braves have done with young Austin Riley, right?
Yeah.
He's a third baseman by trade, who I think was a pitcher in high school. They made him a third baseman. Now he's playing the outfield for the first time. Look at his bat. You think the Braves are happy that he's playing every day? I would love to see the Mets make that kind of a decision with Dom Smith, at least for now while he's been raking. And if it means that you're a little challenged defensively, well, you know what? Then you flip the switch late in games and you make the moves you make to make defensive changes to put you in a better position to win if you have the lead. But especially with the Mets bullpen doing what it's been doing, you've just got to outslug teams with this club
right now.
Not an easy thing to do.
You're right short term, but long term, if Dom's a part of the plans, wouldn't it make more sense for Alonzo to be the guy looking for a new position?
How about him playing third, Alonzo? Howie.
Well, see, that's so radical, it doesn't even make sense to talk about it, because I think there's a more immediate way to address the issue. And that is, and you guys are going to love this, but in my heart of hearts, I hope I'm wrong.
Don't say it. I know what you're going to say, Howie. You're
going to
bring
up
the DH word, aren't you?
I think there's a pretty good chance within the next year or two, or certainly by the next CBA, that, and I think you have to manage accordingly as you manage your roster, as you manage your organization, there's a chance the DH is going to come to the National League. Another reason to hold on to Dom Smith, because maybe Pete Alonso gets some time as a DH if you project down the road. But you know what? When you've got good kids who can hit like this, and the Mets, going back to the beginning, have never been an organization, as you well know, that have developed impact hitters multiple times, keep these guys, build around them the way this game is right now, with everybody in the home runs, the way pitchers are utilized, and I get what Mickey's doing, and understandably so for a lot of reasons, pushing these starting pitchers. You know what? Maybe the Cubs had it right a few years ago when they went against the grain, which used to say that you build an organization through young pitching. How many times have the Mets done that, and half of those young pitchers that they develop get hurt?
No doubt.
You know what? Maybe the Cubs had it right. Maybe you just stockpile as many young bats as you can and fill in the pitching as you go along.
Well, you know how, again, we're talking to the great Howie Rose. I mean, to me, Dom Smith's got to play all the time. J.D. Davis has got to play all the time. I don't know where you put all these guys. Obviously, McNeil's got to be out there. Alonzo's got to be out there. Conforto's got to be out there. All these guys, to me, young guys, got to play. I mean, that's their best team, not Todd Frazier and Robbie Cano. I mean, I understand the deal with that, but still.
Joe, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that if you look at the immediate future for Brandon Nimmo, that's really questionable now. I'm worried about the fact that he's gone out to see Dr. Watkins because, you know, they've managed this the way I think you would expect to manage it. You always do it conservatively at first. You know, he's had his MRIs, and initially it said that it was a bulging disc. Got to be careful with that one.
Yes.
A no herniated disc. But the fact that he's gone out to see Dr. Watkins in California, who's a renowned specialist, he handled David Wright's back and neck situations, indicate that this requires obviously quite a bit more scrutiny, and you just hope that there's nothing more complicated going on there. But the bottom line is he's not going to be part of the immediate future over the next couple of weeks, you wouldn't think. So, you know, it's hard to say take this opportunity when you've got games against all these teams the Mets do right now that are so good. But I could live with rolling the dice on an outfield of Dom Smith, Jeff McNeil, Michael Conforto in center, who's played the position before, and just figure it out defensively later, figure out room for J.D. Davis, and just try to mash people, because unless this bullpen suddenly turns around or is infused with talent from the outside that changes the whole culture, if you will, or look of the bullpen, they're going to have to outslug teams to win the way things are going. So get that best offensive team out there right now, in my opinion.
Before I let you go, Howie, what is Syndergaard? Where? Tell me, explain to me right now, because now he's on the injured list, of course. Where are we at with Syndergaard right now?
Great, great question. I think we've been waiting for him to bust out and have the kind of stretch that Matt Harvey did in his early days as a Met, right? Because at times they looked like they were going to be 1 and 1A. And then, of course, DeGrom came along and became the ace. You know, Noah's had injury issues over the last few years that have precluded him perhaps from being everything that the Mets hoped that he could be. So just keeping him in the rotation for 30-odd starts a year has been challenging enough. There's been a lot of talk about his needing to refine a slower slider, which he's tried to do, however reluctantly. I think there's still a little bit of that, maybe more than a little, of that Thor mentality that Noah accepts beyond what he really should. I said this when he hurt his lat in Washington. Remember, he didn't want to take the MRI, and then bang, he goes out and gets hurt. And I remember saying it on the air that day. Look, he's not a comic book character. He's flesh and blood. And I think at times maybe Noah's embraced the whole image a little bit too much. But right now, the issue, as much as anything, is just his health, is keeping him in rotation. Other than that, and the fact that I know they've tried to get him to work higher with his fastball, the neutralized launch angle, well, guess what? Everybody's doing that now. He loved that 93, 94 mile an hour slider, which, you know, produced, you know, kind of a consistent look for hitters who always saw the hard stuff. You know, they like when he throws this curveball. They like that slider to be a little more of the, you know, slurvy 88, 89 that he's been throwing lately with a little bit of success. Remember when Terry Collins called Noah's curveball the hook from you know where?
Yeah.
You know, that's been inconsistent. I think he needs to throw that more. But beyond that, those are better questions for Dave Island.
I think it's time to call him injury prone. I'll tell you that
Three years
in a row now where he's not going to probably not make 31, 32 starts, but hopefully this injury is only a start or two. We'll see.
And that's the point, yeah.
Howie?
Before I let you go, real quick, Al, last question, just yes or no, is Mickey Callaway make it through the season?
You know, it's a good question, and I'm not hedging, but if the Mets do slip backwards on this trip, and you know what? Look, I mean, you guys know me. I hope they win every game,
so I hope
they come back, you know, 8-3 or something on this trip.
We do live in a real world, though, Howie, you know?
I understand, but if they fall out of it or have a rough trip, then what good does it do to change the manager anyway? Because the challenges are deeper than who's filling out the lineup card at that point. If the bullpen doesn't change, how do you blame that on the manager? You know, see, I'm the last guy in the world to ask about, is it time to fire the manager? Because to me, the time to fire the manager is when he loses the clubhouse. And I just think managers get too much blame across the board, whether it's Mickey Callaway or anybody else. When they stop responding, when you start hearing little sniping from certain quarters about – decisions he's made or hasn't made, and this isn't just for Mickey, this is for anybody, then I think you say, yeah, you have to do it. Too often I think managers are fired because you get to throw them overboard and let the rest of the organization buy a little extra time. So, in other words, if they fall out of this thing, what good does it do to change the manager now? You do that in the offseason.
I just remember back, and maybe I'm misremembering certain aspects of it, when they fired Willie Randolph, the team got sparked somehow. I mean, I know they ended up collapsing at the end of the year anyway, but they had a much better season once they made that change. And it wasn't necessarily Willie Randolph's fault, but at the time of his firing, they were right around 500, a game under. They ended up finishing 14 games above 500. So sometimes it does spark a team.
Well, they had talent then that should have been 14 games under 500, too. They had issues in the bullpen because Billy Wagner went down. And, you know, remember, he needed Tommy John. And who was it? Luis Ayala. Luis Ayala was closing games for him. Oh, yeah, Brock in a pennant race, no less. But, you know, I'm just one who's always believed that you change the manager, not when the season's hopeless, because what good does it do then?
Right, right.
But when the signs are that he's lost the team. And lately, a few guys have basically come out and spoke rather passionately in his defense. So at least to this point, he hasn't lost the clubhouse. If the Mets lose a whole lot more, then I would think you would consider it highly probable that there'd be a manager change coming. But what benefit would it do to make it now? It'd probably be done over the winter. One quick thing I can tell you, because every time you remind me of the change from Willie Randolph to Jerry Manuel, I think of one of my favorite lines from Jerry. Willie, who I love, was very guarded with the media and tried very hard to say very little. And then Jerry Manuel comes aboard, and it's like he's doing Johnny Carson's monologue every night.
Right,
I mean,
he's got
one-liners, he's got this, he's got that. So I went over to Jerry, and this is after one of his pregame press conferences, and I said, hey, Jerry, I got to tell you, I appreciate how candid you've been with us. And Jerry looks at me, he says, don't believe everything you hear. With that laugh of his, you know.
I loved his laugh. That's one thing I liked about him.
So, you know, I just think managers across the board get a little too much of the blame until it seems he's lost the room. And I don't think that Mickey's done that yet. But, again, if they don't turn things around, they'll probably be a different manager next year.
Thank you, Howie. We appreciate it.
In my opinion. Yep. I don't know anything.
No, but I think you're probably right, though. That's for sure.
I would agree.
Thanks, Howie. Enjoy
Howie, always a pleasure. Hang in there.
All right, guys. Be well.
Yep.
See you soon.
See you.
The great Howie Rose.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.